Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
There is a right way and a wrong way to seek reward. It can be done in a way that dishonors God, and it can be done in a way that honors God. If a person uses God, that's wrong. If I turn God into some kind of big vending machine so that he'll just give me the, you know, my higher paying job or better marriage or whatever it is I think I need to be happy, then I'm not seeking God as my great treasure. I'm just using God to get some other thing that I regard as the great treasure. However, not all seeking of reward is like that. Not all seeking of reward is in that category. There is a way to seek reward that does honor God. And if you have trouble understanding the difference between desiring God and using God, try this. Just think about this principle in terms of an earthly relationship, just a relationship with another person. I think we can all understand the difference between a person seeking the natural benefits, the natural rewards that go along with loving a person, as opposed to just using that person to get something else that they desire. Imagine a man who comes to his girlfriend and gets down on a knee and says, "Will you marry me? Marry me. I need you. I need my laundry done. I need someone to cook. I need someone to mow the grass. I don't have time for that stuff." Then she's going to tell him to get lost, right? She's not going to be interested in that. Why? Because he's not interested in her. He's just using her to get some stuff done. But what if a man says, "Marry me," and she says, "Why? Why do you want me to marry you?" And the man says, "Because I want to wake up in the morning and see your beautiful face every day for the rest of my life. And I want to come home from work every day and hear your lovely voice." Is that selfish? No. That's a self-interest that's not selfish, right? It's love. Both men are seeking a reward. The difference is in what it is they want. The first guy dishonors her because he wants something else besides her and just uses her to get it. The second guy honors her because he wants her and the natural benefits that come from being with her. So you say, okay, well, how do I know which of those I'm doing with God, if I'm using him or if I'm desiring him? Let me just offer three principles for discerning that. First, if what you're desiring is a natural, essential connection, has a connection with the person, the presence of the person that you're desiring, then you are desiring that person. You're not using the person. The second principle for discerning this is to just trust God to be the one to pick the reward. Let him choose. When it comes to rewards that are not essential parts of his presence, like money and possessions and circumstances in life and, you know, all that kind of thing, the question to ask is, am I dictating to God which reward it has to be and when, or am I just trusting him to decide whatever he wants to do is great? A third principle to make sure we understand this is to understand the relative value of the things that are natural rewards that come from God's presence and the earthly blessings that are disconnected to that. What I mean is, compare the value of things like awe, joy, comfort, courage, strength, insight, security, all these things that come from the presence of God naturally. Compare the value of those things in your heart to the value of earthly treasure like money and cars and houses and relationships and everything else. If that second category is more valuable to me than the first category, I got a huge problem. The Old Testament emphasizes physical, earthly, material blessings more, right? And the New Testament emphasizes spiritual blessings and rewards. As a conversation the other day, Harry and I were talking about this, and we were talking about the fact that it's not that God just switched. He used to focus on earthly things, now spiritual things. Rather, God has just simply expanded our view. The earthly rewards are still there in the New Testament, but they're just eclipsed, they're dwarfed by the spiritual rewards. They're so small in comparison. They're still there. They're just trivial. They're just really trivial compared to the big stuff. Does God give earthly rewards in the New Testament time? Sure, he does, but so what, really? I mean, it's just trivial compared to the huge rewards. It's kind of like a child. who at age 3 gets all excited about a piece of candy. And that's a reward. You can get him to do pretty much anything with it. 15 years later, you tell that same kid, you get straight A's, when you graduate your senior year, I'll buy you a new car. Now, at age 18, does this kid still enjoy a good piece of candy? Sure. But it doesn't have anywhere near the impact on his heart that the car does. And if it does, that means he's not understanding about the car, right? I mean, if you say, look, I'm going to buy you a brand new Ford Mustang or whatever car you want right off the lot, brand new. And he says, does it come with a piece of gum? I mean, will I get a piece of gum too? He doesn't understand about the car. He's not comprehending what you're offering, right? That's what we're doing when God promises every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms and all things in Christ, everything Christ is an heir of, you're an heir of, and God will withhold nothing. If he gave his own son, he'll withhold nothing, and he promises all that. And you say, well, does his promises include physical healing in this life? Will I get a good job, a wife, children, a house? Is God going to give me all that in this life? Well, maybe, maybe not, depending on what's best for you at this time. But the important thing isn't whether God is going to give you those things in this life. The important thing is why it is that you're so worried about a piece of gum when he's talking about a brand new car. We tend to be such children in what we desire. All of us do. We all do. I mean, a huge percentage, I think, of what's wrong in our spiritual lives is simply that our appetites are just way, way too small. Our desires are too small. We get so fixated on the piece of gum, we can't comprehend the car. And that's dangerous, so dangerous, because the enemy can offer you a piece of gum, but not the car. He can't afford the car. And if you can be led around by the nose by a piece of gum, the world will be able to draw you away from God. But only your father can afford the new Mustang, right? And so it's only when our appetites are large enough so that only our Father in heaven could possibly fulfill them that we're safe. You see that? Only then will we be able to resist the cheesy little allurements that this world can offer. We have to increase our desires. So, those are just three basic principles for discriminating between using God and desiring God. I hope that can help a little bit. And if you want it in a nutshell, try this. It's wrong to use God as a means to gaining earthly pleasures, but it's a good thing to use earthly pleasures as a means of enjoying God. It's wrong to use God as a means to gaining earthly pleasures, but it's a good thing to use earthly pleasures as a means to enjoying God. And if that's an area where you struggle, then just ask yourself, is my enjoyment of God's gifts in competition with my love for God, or is it increasing my love for God? Is my desire for gifts in competition with God, or increasing my thirst for God?
Are there some pieces of gum that the enemy can use to lead you around by the nose? Earthly treasures that are just too valuable in your heart? Which earthly pleasures do you think you need to be most on your guard against? Take a moment to compare those to some far superior spiritual treasures.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.